on the line to take a look at these numbers and talk a bit about them. As usual for a Thursday is Dan Zwicker. He's at Waco, Texas, and Zwicker Consulting. Good morning to you, Dan.
Good morning, Todd.
And the crude oil has been really putting pressure on the marketplace and wreaking havoc, I think, in the outside markets. The Dow Jones Industrial Average and the economic outlook has not been good since the beginning of January. How do you view it in a broader context for agricultural commodities?
Well, the key here, and I'm not sure what's happening to gasoline consumption. I guess gasoline consumption must be down some in the United States, but it does at the moment seem to be more of a supply burdensome type situation with Saudi Arabia pumping out a lot of crude oil. I think it was a deliberate attempt to basically break the fracking industry in the United States because it was finally getting to the point where it was competitive and biting into their market, and they've definitely done that. I mean, the fracking industry in Dakota and Texas, the two main areas, there are going to be all kinds of bankruptcies on these small oil companies. I think Texas alone has lost 90,000 jobs, but the new companies moving into Texas are offsetting that. So it's kind of we're kind of muting that. But I think, you know, what the trade's worried about is it views it as weak demand, not only in the United States, but in China and around the world. And if we're in a weak demand scenario, then we may be in a world recession type situation or getting about ready to head there. And I think that's been the big negative aspect on the equities anyway, because equities have been basically built on cheap interest rates and no place else to put your money. So everybody decided to get on that train and they run the stock market up way high. And now they just basically have run out of gas. And when you run out of reasons to buy equities, and then the selling pressure starts, and that's where we're at. Now, this morning here, I see the dollar sharply higher. That's due to hints, I guess, out of Europe that they may, they're at least going to keep their interest rates low and may even do another quantitative easing program. So we're seeing a flight to quality, I guess, by the dollar, so it's sharply higher. So those have been the main factors of tumbling the equity markets. But so far, basically, the tumble in the equity markets haven't really had much impact on corn and soybean prices, at least right here. I mean, corn futures are basically making new highs for the year after posting a low below the December low at the first of the year. So we've had pretty well straight up on corn futures. We're above the 50-day moving average on the lead futures and the March, and the March is right up against the 100-day moving average here today. So that's probably going to offer some resistance. And then with this several days of price strength, we're getting to the point where we might be due for some kind of correction. I think they'll probably wait and see what the export sales report is tomorrow. Soybean futures have been also rallying off of their early January lows. Lately here, we've been basically the last week and a half or so, we've kind of turned sideways here in the March beans here between this 870 and 880 level, and we're sitting here about 880 on March futures. So not a lot. I think the crop report, basically what it did is remove the most bearish situation in ag commodities by bringing down production. It kept ending stocks from growing. And now I think there's some concern that the Brazilian crop, soybean crop, might not live up to total expectations. It's still going to be a record, but it won't live up to total expectations. Worries about the Brazilian corn crop. Wheat, less wheat acres and less world production is still an adequate supply. But anytime you shorten up supply numbers and the market has worked in larger supply numbers, you get the market has to react to that through higher prices or short covering. And I think that's what we're seeing. here in the ag complex here to start off the new year.
So are you of a mind that we are now in a base building mode rather than a downtrending mode?
I think we're just having a good recovery. Now, I do have to, if we finish out the month of January with a monthly reversal to the upside, I think that would be a good sign that we are in a base building period. But I can't get too bullish until farmers let loose of their inventory, because it's still considered weak hands. We still have that hedge pressure yet to come into the marketplace. And until that hedge pressure from this year's production is priced into the market, there's probably limits to the upside strength unless we get into an all-out weather problem in South America. And then that may begin to begin here in the United States as we get into April, May. So we'll have to kind of see on that. But, you know, when I look at the monthly charts, I got to be friendly. I just can't be bearish looking at the monthly charts compared to where we're at today, compared to where we've been at the past 10 years. So you can't get super bearish. Short term here, some of my cycle work would indicate that maybe this market could firm into the first part of February. But I still have spring weakness that is a concern of mine, April type low, early May type low. So that tells me somewhere in here farmers may let loose of their inventory before spring, and that would, you know, maybe pressure the market down into an April, May type low. But we'll just have to see how things play out. That's my only concern. I do see a period of price vulnerability in April. So I hope I'm wrong. I see farm futures did a corn survey, acreage survey, and looking for corn acres to be up 2 million. That is not what we need if we want to get corn prices back to 4.5. If you want to keep corn prices down here at 3.5, 3.25, well, that's what we need, I guess. If my cycles are right, we peak here late January, early February, and then decline during February, then that would maybe lower the insurance average, and maybe that would discourage some of these acres from being planted, because I do believe farmers in the Plain States and in a lot of areas through the Corn Belt are planting for the insurance crop price. We're always planting for some government program of some kind, and this, now we're planting for insurance prices.
All right. Well, we'll talk with you more about that this afternoon and maybe take a look at those wheat numbers and exactly where they didn't bother to put them in. I think Nebraska was the number one place. Of course, that is Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting in Waco, Texas, and we'll return again this afternoon at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock. We're about 15 seconds away now from the top of the hour, 10 o'clock Central Time. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Find us online at willag.org.